In the last lecture, we were studying Lorentz model, and I discussed attractors, possible attractors in systems in three and higher dimensional dynamical systems. So this is the equation of motion for the Lorentz attractor, and the parameters, these are the three parameters here, and all of them are positive. So the first thing that we do when we have equations of motion is try to find the equilibrium points and their stability. So when we substitute x dot, y dot, and z dot to be zero, their solutions are the equilibrium points, and you can solve these with a little bit of algebra. So you will get three solutions: c naught, c plus, and c minus. C naught is the origin, and c plus minus is this. So you can see that c plus minus exists only for r greater than 1, because x, y, z are real numbers. So for r less than 1, only one of the equilibrium points exists, and for r greater than 1, all three of them exist. So what will be the next step? We did stability analysis in two-dimensional dynamical system. What would happen in a three-dimensional dynamical system? Can we just generalize the method that we did there or not?
Jacobian should become 3×3.
Yeah, that is right. So I'm just telling that in higher dimensional system, to study the stability analysis of equilibrium points, we linearize the system, we find the Jacobian and find the eigenvalues. And there also, if the real part of all the eigenvalues are negative, then it is a stable equilibrium point. And even if the real part of any of the eigenvalue is positive, then in that direction, in the eigenvector of that direction, it will like diverge from there, right? So it is unstable. It may be saddle, but overall, like stability nature, we say it is stable or unstable. So it will be unstable, but the phase portrait will be saddle-like. So the stability analysis, just for examples, like suppose in 3D system, this is the equilibrium point. So this is one plane, this is the third direction. And if the motion is somewhat like this, in that case, what do you think would be the
stable form?
Nature of three eigenvalues, where will they lie on this plane? Any idea?
All three real parts should be negative.
Yeah.
And one of them, because they occur in complex conjugate pairs.
Yeah, it is spiraling in. So two of them will be complex conjugate pairs, and the real parts of all of them are going to be negative. On the other hand, one more example. Something like this. In that case, what will be the
what is happening there?
It is in one direction, it is contracting, like in this direction towards the equilibrium point. But in the plane, it is spiraling outwards, actually. Something like that. I may have not been able to draw it very perfectly, but something like that. So
the complex roots are positive real value.
Yeah, that is right. There'll be, and there will be one negative. Right, so like this we can analyze all the different possibilities here. So for Lorentz model, like this Jacobian at x star, the critical points, you can easily calculate it to be minus sigma 0 So this will be the Jacobian, and we can find the eigenvalue equation. It will be of third order. So,
but this is for for all three. Okay.
Yeah, this is, I have inputted x star, y star, z star here actually.
Okay.
So you can substitute these and work out the eigenvalues. So I'm just directly writing the eigenvalues here. I'm not computing it like this third order, so maybe use Mathematica or something. Case one, when we can see that when r is less than 1 versus when r is greater than 1, just some intuitive analysis, you can see that for r less than 1, these will be negative. Like this whole quantity will be less than, if r is less than 1, then this will be a negative number. Like,
so this will be less.
And so this will be less than this. So all of them will be negative actually. So for r less than 1, it is a stable, yes, node or focus, like, yeah, I haven't checked that exactly, like depending on whether they are imaginary or real, but the point is
only when that bracket becomes 0 or something, right? Otherwise,
the node will be when this is positive, like positive, then a square root will be a real number.
Yeah.
And when this inside quantity is negative,
okay,
then it becomes a focus.
Okay.
So for r greater than 1, one of the eigenvalues is going to be one of the eigenvalues is going to be positive, so that will make it a saddle. Like one of the eigenvalues is definitely negative, so it can't be an unstable point. And the other thing is, yesterday we were discussing, like in dissipative system, since this is a very dissipative system, volume decreases exponentially fast, so it cannot have repellers. So we are also seeing that here, that there is a stable node, I suppose, and then there is a saddle. So stability is unstable, but oh.
Node or focus will depend, I think, on value of sigma also, right?
Yeah, yeah, sigma and R, that is right. But overall, you can see that for R less than 1,
it will be stable.
Yeah, yeah, that is the main point. But whether it depends on sigma and R values together. Oh, and S2 was the other equilibrium point. Other thing you can see that there is a symmetry in the equations. If you switch x and y by minus x and minus y, the equation of motion remains same. So that will have some implication on the solutions as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So here you can see that C plus and C minus are like x and y signs are switched, right? Z is same, but x and y signs are switched. So that is because of the symmetry in the problem. This is C plus C minus that we are calling. So they only exist for R greater than 1. For R equals to 1, basically it coincides with the origin itself, right? For R equals to 1.
R equals to 1, yeah.
Yeah, so for this exists for R greater than equal to 1 in that sense. So again, stability analysis will reveal that this is stable for R less than R critical value, which is sigma plus So in his study, Edward Lorenz actually used these values of sigma and B. Like he fixed sigma and B and varied R to study the dynamics. So he used sigma equals to 10 and B equals 8 by 3. That is what you will see in all the most of the studies of Lorenz model actually. So using these, RC is equal to, when we put this R, the critical R value here, 470 by 19, that comes out to be 24.74 into digits of precision. So C plus minus is stable . So we have done the stability analysis of equilibrium points here, but that is all, like, not completely all, but simply that is what we can do by hand analytically. After that, what the system is doing, to understand, we will have to take the help of numerics actually. So I'll show some plots. This is the model. So for r less than 1, what did we see? Origin is the stable equilibrium point. So you, I have started with one initial condition here and shown that it does go to origin, right? Now we increase, and from here we can see that it is a node. Like it doesn't spiral in, it goes directly. For r equals 0.8 also similar thing happens. So for r greater than 1, origin has become unstable and there are two equilibrium points, and depending, they have basins, different basin of attraction. So depending on my initial condition in which, whose basin of attraction it lies, it will be attracted to either C plus or C minus. So for r equals to 5, it gets attracted to one of those. I guess C plus, because all the positive values are positive. What happens as we keep on increasing r? So at r equals to 14, you see that like an initial condition here does not go to C plus. It still goes to one of them, but the basin of attraction are kind of mixed. It's not like, okay, positive side is like goes to C plus, negative side goes to C minus. That's not. So initial condition starting in the positive side also like goes to C minus, because basin of attraction is like kind of mixed on both sides. Not, there is not a concrete boundary like that. And it's not defined, dividing the space with a plane or something. So this is what you see for r equals to 14. For r equals to 23, you still see that it goes and spirals into that equilibrium point. So for r equals, I'm increasing now slowly, like r equals 23, because I have shown there that it becomes unstable for r equals 24.74, right? So for 24.2, it like spirals into, so like,
have we changed the initial condition or is this?
I think, yeah, this one is changed. So I'll tell you the reason why we have changed the initial condition. And this is just a zoomed in plot. Like it is still spirals in. This is r equals 24.2. But you see that r equals 24.2, you also get this strange attractor. So the thing is, the basin of attraction of both of them have shrunk to very small size, like not volume, but maybe volume in the phase space actually. So maybe the center of these two actually are like empty here, right? They are not touched by this strange attractor. So there is a very small volume, which is the basin of attraction on of each of these two equilibrium points now. So that's why the strange attractor actually coexists with these equilibrium points C plus and C minus in this region. So I'll explain a bit later, like after this.
But are C plus and C minus at the center of that strange attractor, or it is some different point itself?
Kind of. I have not explicitly checked, but I think those are the center actually. I mean, or center or lies inside this actually. So it coexists. So chaos has already started in the system. Just that there are small volumes of phase space which still goes towards.
So the difference between those two are where we started the initial condition.
Yeah, that is right. So for above, I actually specifically chose an initial. So I calculated the equilibrium points from that analytical formula, and I started with a value very close to it actually. For this, I started with a value very close to it, so it goes on. So since it has a very small a small basin of attraction, that's why I had to do that. So otherwise, other initial conditions mostly lead to this chaotic behavior. And this is the strange attractor, like also called Lorentz attractor or chaotic attractor. And then if we go on now, like beyond 24.74, those two have become unstable. So beyond that, you will see like every condition actually leads to on this kind of behavior, chaotic behavior. So this is for r equals 28, just few more plots for r equals 50, for example. Like the shape is almost similar, just a bit of maybe orientation change or something. And then so for r equals to 80, I have removed the transients here. Like I have done it for t equals 300 or 400, these plots, like whatever time steps you take, seconds or minutes, but 300 or 400 I have input, and I have removed the first 100 units of time. This is without that. And now this is r equals to 80. So I have removed that transient here, and you can still again see that some periodic behavior emerges for small windows of r. So in a very small window around r equals to 100, you again get those periodic windows. Remember in logistic map, when we were varying r, you had period doubling, bifurcation, and beyond 3.57 or something, you got these chaotic behavior. But after that, I showed a period 3 map, right? So those were periodic windows. So here in Lorentz model also, we have that periodic window. So this is 99.63, and this is r equals to 100. So this is actually a complicated limit cycle, doesn't just look like a simple periodic orbit, but it is a limit cycle. And this is a period 2 limit cycle, actually. So the thing is, here you see a reverse period doubling phenomenon. Like if there is a very small window in which I keep on decreasing r, you will see a period doubling of these limit cycles. That is the interesting part, in a very small window. But it's not like, okay, now we have periodic behavior again. So this is just a plot where I have not removed the transient. So it takes some time to settle down to that periodic orbit, but it settles down. But again, if I increase r, I again get chaos. But
in this case, we didn't see any period doubling route to chaos or something like that. Or is it there just we didn't see?
So that is the next thing that I want to talk about, actually. So that there we explicitly like understand a little bit how did chaos happen, right? Like period 2, there is period doubling of period 2. So to the power infinity, we get chaos, something. Here it is not that obvious. So I'm going to discuss that a bit.
Okay.
So that is the thing. It's not like once you have a periodic orbit, you will again get the same. So you can see, like, studying these kind of systems analytically, how hard it is, right? Like, there is so much going on in so small windows, like applying perturbation theory or something. If you try, it's not going to work. And linearization can only give you equilibrium points and its stability. That's it. So that is the interesting. And it's just a three-dimensional system. Not like, in general, when people think of chaos, it is like, okay, people give example of this weather, right? And weather seems like, okay, it is a very complicated system. There are so many parameters at play. So if it is chaotic, it kind of makes sense in a way. Like, okay. But the important point is that for chaos, like even a very few body system, for example, this is a 3D model. And then for you take double pendulum, for example, in Hamiltonian system. There also we see chaos, right? So that is the thing, that you can get chaos in a very few body systems, which is the most interesting part. It's not a problem of only very complicated systems. So yesterday I was talking about strange attractors, and I had told that
there can be
strange attractors have this property that there is sensitivity to initial conditions. So I want to show that to this. So here this is an animation of the Lorentz model with few initial conditions, like 5-6 initial condition or something. So in the beginning, they kind of behave in a similar manner, but soon they have started diverging apart. And now, like where they will be, it is difficult to predict, even if you have very, very small differences in the initial condition. So like precision matters a lot. So this is the sensitivity to initial conditions. So strange attractors have this property that if you start with a blob of initial condition, after some time of evolution, it spreads through the strange attractor. So, and then I had also talked about strange non-chaotic attractors. So they are attractors with fractal dimension, but they will not show this behavior of sensitivity actually to initial conditions. So that is important here.
This is also some fractal dimension.
Yeah, that is right. It has a fractional dimension. As far as it is calculated, it is approximately 2.06. As far as, I have not done it myself, I have read it. There are two things to think from here. Like, first of all, how to quantify sensitivity to initial condition, rather than just seeing it that, okay, you are seeing sensitivity. How do you quantify it? And second is, what is the route to chaos in this model? How can just, like, there are a few fixed points, they just lose stability and everything becomes chaotic. How does that happen? And in fact, chaos started even when they didn't lose stability completely, then also, so what is the route to chaos here? So those are like two important things. Quantify and characterize sensitivity to initial condition. And second is, what is the route to chaos? So have you heard of Lyapunov exponents by any chance?
Heard the name, but not, I don't know, definitely.
Yeah. So Lyapunov exponent describes the rate of divergence of nearby trajectories. So suppose there are two initial conditions in the phase space. The phase space is Rn, a finite dimensional n-dimensional phase space, and the distance between them is d naught initially, for example. Like compute the norm basically, like square root of. So, and as they evolve, the distance becomes dt at time t. So, this is like, if there is an exponential separation of the trajectories, this is what you will get, like the difference.
But it's not depending on what the model is, this relation may or may not hold, yeah. Means it will be exponential or not exponential, how will we decide?
So honest, whenever there is sensitivity to initial conditions, like in these kind of strange attractors, we see that like for in Lorentz model, the motion is bounded, right? So initially when you start with two points very, very close to each other on the strange attractor, initially they have been seen to diverge apart exponentially. And then since it is bounded, it can't keep on diverging apart, right? So after that, you will see like there is a like if you plot the graph of t versus ln of dt by d naught, then initially, like with some fluctuations, you will see something like this. and then you will see like it levels off because it can't diverge apart infinitely. The motion is bounded. This is what will happen. So if you see a kind of, there will be fluctuations, but if you can kind of see a linear behavior such that you can do a linear fit, that suggests a exponential divergence. That is what is seen. I do not know exactly like why they can't, like can polynomial expansions can be used or not, why exponential expansion or something like that.
Probably we can always plot this graph. Whatever is d0, whatever.
Yeah.
Plot this and see what the behavior is.
Yeah, that is right. So that is the thing that in simulations, this is what we can do. And for Lorentz attractor, for most of the initial condition, this is what you will see if you start on the attractor with close by initial condition. So basically, like you can see that so you can find lambda here. So when the system is chaotic, we get a positive lambda here, and when the system is like, if you do the same for example r equals to 5, then the system is not chaotic, then you will get a negative lambda here actually. So the thing is, for n dimensional system, there are going to be n Lyapunov exponents because there are n independent directions, right? So generally, like you can compute Lyapunovic spectrum, and that I'll explicitly tell how to exactly compute the Lyapunovic spectrum. Like here with this method, you can only get one Lyapunovic, one number.
Yeah.
You can't get a spectrum of n numbers here. So, but in general, there are different directions. So different directions, in different directions, there can be different rate of divergence of trajectories. So there can be some Lyapunov number can be negative, some positive. But overall, we are interested in the maximal Lyapunov exponent. If the maximal value is positive, then the system is chaotic. Even though, like for Lorentz model, there are three Lyapunov exponents. The spectrum has three numbers, and if the maximal is positive, then the system is chaotic. The other two can be zero, negative. So if all of them are negative, then like, or if the maximal is negative, so this gives you a maximal number. But if you are interested in the Lyapunov spectrum, then there is a way to calculate it, like that we will discuss later.
Okay.
So
this obviously will give you the maximal one.
Yeah, this will give you the maximal one actually. Because overall, if in any direction trajectories are like diverging, then the trajectories will diverge. D0 and dt
will diverge.
So you will get a positive Lyapunov exponent that way. So the second question is now, what is the root to chaos here? Like I have briefly discussed the first question. So that analysis is a rigorous, rigorous numerical analysis actually. To understand that, it is not possible to explain everything like root to chaos. It is not as simple as in the case of logistic map actually. So there you can get some idea through the bifurcation diagram. This might be difficult to see for you. Should I do it?
I can see, no problem.
Is it okay? Okay. So the bifurcation diagram is, you plot the, like in logistic map we had plotted what is like x infinity versus R was the parameter, right? So here, like, it is a vector kind of thing. So we'll roughly see like what happens, and but overall, it the thing is like it is as a function of R, bifurcation diagram tells you what happens in the system. So initially, till R equals to 1, we know that there is a stable node in the system. And then like there are two fixed points that takes birth here at R equals to 1 in a sense, right? So this is here what happens is a supercritical pitchfork bifurcation. So pitchfork bifurcation is when like you have one stable fixed point, and then if it becomes unstable, like dashed line is generally used to denote unstable, and it gives rise to two stable fixed points, that is called a pitchfork bifurcation. Now this is a supercritical pitchfork bifurcation. I'll tell why. There can be a subcritical pitchfork bifurcation. Where you have a stable fixed point and with it two unstable fixed points exist.
They're unstable, so
they are unstable. So and after the bifurcation, the main, like the stable one, becomes unstable.
Stable becomes unstable. Okay.
So this is unstable. And this is unstable and unstable. So the thing is, each of these bifurcations, diverting a little bit, like how do we study bifurcations? So the thing is, each of these bifurcations have a normal form. These are local bifurcations in the sense that I had discussed hyperbolic equilibrium points and non-hyperbolic equilibrium points. Hyperbolic, when all the real parts are not equal to zero, all the layered parts of all the eigenvalues, and non-hyperbolic, if any of the real, any of the eigenvalues has a zero real part. So if there is a 1D system, for example, and if it has just one eigenvalue, it, as you vary a parameter, it can move and become non-hyperbolic. And then again, like if you vary the parameter again, it will go on. So whenever a system has, like if there is an equilibrium point and you have a set of eigenvalues and you plot them on this real lambda and imaginary lambda axis, upon variation of parameters, whenever they cross the y-axis here, the imaginary axis here, a bifurcation occurs.
Always.
Yeah, so I'll write just the normal form of one of them, like for supercritical, like x dot is mu x minus x cube. I discussed this briefly for the attractor example. I had discussed this yesterday. And for the subcritical, the normal form is you can see y and x are coupled. So just one eigenvalue is needed in this case, like one eigenvalue. If it crosses the imaginary line, this gives rise to a bifurcation actually. And the point about bifurcation is, like, if you take the phase port, if the all the eigenvalues are here, for example, somewhere in the negative in this part, and if you vary a parameter, the eigenvalues will shift a bit, but as long as they don't cross the imaginary axis, the phase portraits of both the cases will be topologically equivalent. Like you can construct a diffeomorphism like map such that, like a smooth map, such that you go from one to the other. But if there exist, like if one of the eigenvalues are on the imaginary line, or if it crosses, then the case where all of them are here versus the case where even one of them are on the is on the imaginary line or here, they are no more topologically equivalent. So these local bifurcations occur when the equilibrium points lose their hyperbolicity upon variation of parameters. So here mu is a parameter basically in both these, and as you like, this analysis is pretty simple here, that as you like, you can find as a function of mu what are the equilibrium points, what is their stability. So you will get this diagram actually, and then you can draw the phase portrait. You can see the phase portrait when you have parameter like mu is the parameter here. So when you have a value of mu here, the phase portrait is topologically inequivalent. You can't transform these two. So the way, like, if the eigenvalue crosses the imaginary line via the real line actually, then in general there are three bifurcations. One is Hitchcock bifurcation, the other two are transcritical and saddle node bifurcation. So transcritical, I'll just give a think as far as I remember. So transcritical is like there are two fixed points. Two fixed points, like one is on this real line and the other is this, and at the this mu equals to zero parameter in the normal form, they switch the stability.
Okay.
So this one becomes a stable. So this is called the transcritical bifurcation, and there's a third is a saddle node bifurcation, which is like there are two fixed points. One of the fixed point is stable and another is unstable. As you increase mu value, at a certain mu value, they both of them collide, like the same, become same point, and then they disappear. They are no more there. Or something like that, if you have a function like this, for example, and you keep on increasing the height. So at mu equals to zero, like it will become here, so they'll be together. And then above that, there are no. So this is saddle node. So there are three bifurcations where crossing via real line, crossing of the eigenvalue via real line takes place. On the other hand, like if it is a two-dimensional system, there can be a pair of eigenvalues, complex conjugate, and they can, like, cross like the real parts can become positive via the imaginary axis actually. like they are crossing on the imaginary axis. The crossing is here, not here.
But still, real part will become zero at some
point. Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right, real part. So there is non-hyperbolicity at some point. I'm just saying that, so one-dimensional system can see all these three bifurcations that I talked about. But this bifurcation can only happen in 2D system because there you need two eigenvalues. And this bifurcation is called Hopf bifurcation. And we had actually seen Hopf bifurcation in the Van der Pol oscillator. So what had happened, like as we had varied B parameter, initially the origin was a fixed point. And for B equals to 1, sorry, B for B greater than 0, what had happened was it had become unstable and it gave birth to a limit cycle, a stable limit cycle. So that is what happens, that in Hopf bifurcation, you have one stable fixed point and it becomes unstable after the bifurcation. And it gives rise to a limit cycle in the sense of this. Like as you vary the parameter, the radius or like the form of the limit cycle which will change. But this fixed point is unstable. And like at every point, every value of this parameter, mu, you see that there is a limit cycle. So this can occur in 2D systems, and this is called a Hopf bifurcation. And again, Hopf bifurcation can also be supercritical or subcritical.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is a supercritical one. In subcritical one, what will happen, like there is an unstable limit cycle. And there is a stable fixed point, which became unstable. So this is the subcritical Hopf bifurcation. So the thing is, like, if you think clearly, we saw in the Lorentz model, we saw that there were a couple of fixed points which they just lost stability, and they had imaginary parts. They were complex conjugate. We saw a spiraling behavior, right? But they just became unstable. And after that, we didn't see any limit cycle in the simulation, right? But something has to occur. It can't just happen that they lost stability. So what happened was actually a subcritical Hopf bifurcation there, which you can't see in simulations. That's the very important thing, that unless and until you know this analytical thing, that this can't happen, that the real part of the eigenvalues become positive via the imaginary axis, and nothing else happens in the phase space. That can't happen, actually. There, something has to happen.
There were some unstable limit cycles before, and after that, when the fixed points became unstable.
Yeah, at 24.74 something, a subcritical Hopf bifurcation occurred, where the fixed point became unstable and the limit cycle disappeared, actually. So these bifurcations that we talked about are local bifurcations, in the sense that you can track the equilibrium points and their stability, and loss of hyperbolicity of equilibrium points gives rise to these local bifurcations. Then there can be global bifurcations in the system, in the sense that multiple trajectories, multiple things in the phase space are taking part in just changing the phase portrait to topologically inequivalent phase portrait. So, and study of global bifurcations is much more difficult in that way, because it is not as simple as just tracking the stability of equilibrium points or limit cycles, actually. So every global, just like linear systems, you have a way to solve them, right?
Yeah.
But if you take non-linear system and you want to solve it, each non-linear system is a specific class in itself. You have to develop another method to study it. So likewise, global bifurcations are like that. That every global bifurcation is a class in itself, and you will have to find a new way to study it. So it's not like all the global bifurcations are not even known. Like, a lot can be done in dynamical systems theory, in the bifurcation theory, actually, study of bifurcations in that way. What can happen in the phase space? So that is the thing that here. So the question is, how did this limit cycle arise in the phase space? I told that there was an unstable limit cycle in the phase space. The question is, how did it even appear in the phase space? From where? So it actually happened via a global bifurcation, which is called homoclinic bifurcation. I may not be going into those details because they are very complicated, but just letting you know that it. There was actually a homoclinic bifurcation that gives rise to this unstable limit cycle. And when this limit cycle points does not exist, that coincides with when the stable fixed points lose their stability and there is a subcritical Hough bifurcation at this point. So overall, the thing is, like, there is here you have stable origin till r equals to 1, then you have stable fixed point until r equals 24.74 that we had computed. And when this homoclinic bifurcation occurs, at that point there is something called transient chaos starts, actually. So these global bifurcations can lead to transient chaos. I'll explain what that means. And this happened at actually 24.06. Like, I had shown figures at 24.2, actually, two figures. For one initial condition, it went on to the fixed point, and for other initial condition, it gave rise to the, it went to the strange attractor. So the thing is, I'll just wrap up. So the thing is, when this homoclinic bifurcation occurred, which is a global bifurcation, at that point, transient chaos started, in the sense that if you look at the time series of this XYZ, you will see, initially for a very long period of time, you will see chaotic-like behavior. But eventually, it will settle down to one of these fixed points, C plus and C minus. So that is transient chaos. But that ends around 24.06, and this gives rise to a strange attractor. And in this range, we still have those fixed points, which are stable. And if you start in the vicinity of that at that fixed point, you will see a regular behavior, and beyond that they also lose stability and there is just a strange attractor. So every initial condition goes to the strange attractor.
Like there should have been C plus and C minus 2 points, right? Means in the whole diagram, just as diagram.
Yeah, so it is, I have drawn a vector. So if it was a scalar, I should have drawn something like this actually. So like if it is a vector, since the points, like they are similar points, right? Just with symmetry.
Okay.
So in the sense that these are two lines in that way, just overlapping with each other in the vector diagram. But in the scalar diagram, you will see something like this. Yeah, thanks a lot.
So many things today.
Yeah, it is complicated and it's like it is not possible to analyze all these things in class, like how these are happening. And this is a project in itself, I would say, to analyze all these bifurcations and like going to unstable fixed points or limit cycles is very, finding those is very difficult in the first place. So I had told that these unstable fixed points or limit cycles play an important role in chaos actually, and you don't really see them in simulations.
Yeah.
So that is the very tricky part in the sense to figure out. Like I had never simulated Lorentz model myself, and that like completely, like just the dynamics is a different thing. So when I was preparing for the lecture, they lose the stability, but what happens? This can't happen. And some books don't mention anything. So I had to go and look, what is happening? This can't happen. There has to be a Hopf bifurcation. And then I came across, okay, there is a subcritical Hopf bifurcation, so we don't see it. Otherwise, I was very surprised, how can this happen? So yeah, a lot is going on in there that leads to chaos here. It is very, very interesting.